But we thank you for the opportunity to be able to share a little bit from the Lord's, from his word this evening, and also share a little bit on the work here in El Salvador and what the Lord is doing here in this country. So I'd like to go to, over to Luke's gospel, and we'll go there to chapter 19. Luke's gospel, chapter 19. Now, it's interesting as you go through the gospels to see the parables. In Matthew's gospel, we have 23 parables. We have 11 of them are only parables, just for Matthew. And there's 12 of them that are repeated parables. So Matthew has 23 parables written in it, in scripture. Then we go to Mark, and we have there 8 parables. 2 of them are only parables, just in Mark's gospel. And 6 of them are repeated parables in some of the other gospels. Then we go over to Luke's gospel, and we have there 24 parables. Matthew 23, Luke has 24 parables. Of those 24 parables, 18 are only parables, just to Luke's gospel. And there's 6 that are repeated from the other of other gospels. And then we go over to John, and we go all the way through John, and we get to the end of John, and there's no parables all the way through John. So it's interesting that we have 3 gospels that have parables written in them, 1 gospel with no parable in them, in it, but we have the gospel of Luke, and it has 24 parables. So that's what has been on my mind lately, is just thinking of the parables that we have in Luke. And this evening we'll just take up one of those parables and see how this parable can affect our life. This is the important thing about the parable, is that we can be able to apply it to something that we can use and understand and put to work in our lives. The Lord just didn't give parables just to give a story to us so that we would have a story about what happened. No, there's teaching in the parables that he wants us to learn from. And so he has given us the parables. So we go over to Luke's gospel, chapter 19. And we'll read there at verse 11. It says, "And as they heard these things, he added and spake a parable, because he was nigh to Jerusalem, and because they thought that the kingdom of God should immediately appear. And he said, therefore, a certain nobleman went into a far country to receive for himself a kingdom and to return. And he called his 10 servants and delivered them 10 pounds, and said unto them, occupy till I come. But his citizens hated him, and sent a message after him, saying, we will not have this man reign over us. And it came to pass that when he was returned, having received the kingdom, then he commanded these servants to be called unto him to whom he had given the money, that he might know how much every man had gained by trading. And then came the first, saying, Lord, thy pound hath gained 10 pounds. And he said unto him, well, thou good servant, because thou hast been faithful in very little, have thou authority over 10 cities. And the second came, saying, Lord, thy pound hath gained 5 pounds. And he said likewise unto him, be thou also over 5 cities. Then another came, saying, Lord, behold, here thy pound, which I have kept laid up in a napkin. For I fear thee, because thou art an austere man. Thou takest up that thou layest not down, and thou reapest that thou didst not sow. And he said unto him, out of thine own mouth will I judge thee, thou wicked servant. Thou knewest I was an austere man, taking up that which I did, taking up that which I laid not down, and reaping that I did not sow. Wherefore, then gavest not thou thy money into the bank, and at my coming I might have required mine own with usury or with interest. And may the Lord bless the reading of his word to us. This parable is one of the very interesting ones that has often called my attention, because we see the interest of our Lord to convey to his disciples this desire that they would work in his work. And it's interesting that it starts in verse 11, and it says, and as they heard these things, he added and spake a parable. What things had they heard? What had they been hearing? Well, you'd have to go back to verse 1 through verse 10, and there you'd find the conversion of Zacchaeus. So he just told them, or they have seen the conversion of this man, Zacchaeus. And they see that he's a man that he really wants to meet the Lord. He's up in that sycamore tree, and he's waiting for the Lord to come underneath of it. And the Lord comes to where he is, and he speaks to Zacchaeus, and he says, Zacchaeus, come down. And Zacchaeus immediately comes down, and he goes into his house. And there in his house, he shares with him the message of the gospel. And this is what the parable is about, sharing the message of the gospel with others. Now, what did Zacchaeus do? Zacchaeus got saved. How do I know he got saved? Well, you see, Zacchaeus said, the half of my goods will I give to the poor. And he says, and if I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, I will restore him fourfold. He was a changed heart. That wasn't like Zacchaeus 2 hours ago, desiring everything for himself. Now he knew he would have to give an account even of what he had. And he wanted to be very precise in helping those that really needed help, those of the poor and those that he had stolen from. And the Lord Jesus says unto Zacchaeus, he says, and Jesus said unto him, this day salvation has come to this house. So here we have the pound being negotiated, and there's an effect of the pound. Salvation has come to the house. And so now we have another one in the family of God to go out and share this pound that we have. And so after relating how Zacchaeus had gotten saved, the Lord says, and as they heard these things, he added and spake a parable, because he was nigh to Jerusalem, and because they thought that the kingdom of God should immediately appear. They thought he was to come and set up his kingdom. But he tells unto them this parable, and he says, there was a certain nobleman. I don't believe there's anyone who is more noble than our Lord Jesus Christ. He was noble in his birth. He was noble in his name. He was noble in his character. He was noble in his position. He was noble in his riches. He is the Son of God. So a certain nobleman went into a far country, all the way to where we were here on earth, a far country, to receive for himself a king and return. So that's what he's come for. He came to go to the cross and through Calvary be able to open up the heirs of that kingdom that he was to have. But it says to receive for himself a kingdom and return. It's interesting, right through this chapter, we see that he's going to return. He's coming back. He's told us that he's going to return. I will return. And what does he do? He calls unto him his 10 servants. Notice that word, his 10 servants. They were his. They belonged to him. So we too are his servants, belong to him. And he's called us unto him for a special purpose. You know, if the Lord just wanted us to, he just wanted us to be in heaven, the day we got saved, he would have taken us home. But he has more to it in his plan. And he has in his plan that we would share the gospel with others while we are here on earth. You know, once we get to heaven, all evangelistic work comes to an end. It's only here on earth that we can do it. So we need to take advantage of the time that he has given us here on earth to be able to take this pound that he has given to us. And he says unto them, he called his 10 servants. A servant is a person under authority. It's a person that should listen to his Lord as to what he would have him to do. Wasn't that Saul's desire when he got saved? His first desire, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? He wanted to do the Lord's will. And he says unto his 10 servants, and he delivers unto them 10 pounds and says unto them, occupy till I come. Now I want you to think of this pound as the message of the gospel that we have today. Something that's the same that he has given to each one of us. Each one listening today, he's all given us the same pound. It's not one has more and one has less. From what I understand from Bible times, a daily wage in Bible times, they would make a denarius, just one denarius of a day's wage. But they would take 100 denarius to be able to come to have a pound. So a denarius was actually worth a day's wage, and a pound was worth 100 denarius. Now, if we put that into today's thinking and today's money we have, say in a day, you make $100 each day. If you do, maybe some more, maybe some less, but say $100 a day. In 100 days, you would make $10,000. So now I want you to think, this is something very important. It's not just a coin. It was worth something. It had value. And the Lord was very concise to have those 10 pounds. And he delivered them unto each one a pound. And then he says these words, verse 13, occupy till I come. Occupy till I come. Now, I'd like you to just go over to the Spanish version just a little minute here. And in Spanish, it doesn't say occupy. It says negotiate. Negotiate. This is what he wants, is to go out and negotiate this pound that he has given us. It's of great value, but he wants us to use it in the works that we are involved in. Do you know, I can truly say that I truly love working with first generation Christians. Most of our Christians around us are all first generation. But once you get to the second generation and you get to the third generation, and I got to be careful because I'm a third generation Christian. So I got to be careful on myself. But usually the third generation Christians, they just don't have the push behind them that the first generation Christians have. What happens when a first generation Christian gets saved? The first thing he's saying, look, I want you to go and talk to my mom, and I want you to talk to my dad. And hey, how about having gospel meetings in the little town where I live? And how about coming in and giving out text and tracts around the area where I work? Try to negotiate, to occupy. But if you go to a third generation Christian, they're very laxed in their ways. And that's why I always like to be around first generation Christians, because it kind of revives us a little bit to get back into the work that he has given us. And he says, negotiate till I come. That's as far, that's the limit that he has given us the pound to negotiate. All those who have gone on before us, they're already done negotiating. But he has left us here. And the purpose is that we would negotiate. Now we'll go to verse 14. And it says, and his servants and his citizens hated him. Notice that word. In Spanish, it's the same as English. His concitizens, the citizens of his country, hated him and sent a message after him saying, we will not have this man reign over us. Would that be our point of view? Would we say, no, we're just too busy. We just got so many things going and we got too many brands in the fire and we just don't have any time. Well, you know, our true purpose in being here is this pound. This is what he wants us to do, is to negotiate this pound. Everything else should be just to put a roof over our head and food on our plate to be able to eat and not worry about the rest. But go out and negotiate this pound. But they said, we will not have this man reign over us. Then we get down to verse 15. And it says, and it came to pass. What came to pass? That when he was returned, he said he was going to come back. He did come back. And what did he do? He came unto the people that he had given the pounds. And he commended to his servants, and he called unto them who he had given the money, that he might know how much every man had gained by trading. And the first came saying, Lord, thy pound. Notice whose pound it was. It was the Lord's pound that he had given them. He says, thy pound. And you notice all the way down, verse 18, thy pound. You go down to verse 20, thy pound. They all recognized it was his pound. He said, thy pound hath gained 10 pounds. Here we have blessing. A man that has put his hand to the plow and not looked back. And he's seen blessing in the work that he's done. And he says, thy pound hath gained 10 pounds. Great blessing. And the Lord says unto him, and he says, well, thou good servant. You know, if we could only hear these words from our Lord, well done, thou good servant. But the only reason he's going to use these words on us is if we've worked with the pound that he's given us, like he wants us to. You know, with COVID around and so many people that are sick around, and maybe you find it hard to get out. One of the easy things to do is everybody today all has a cell phone. And how about going through your cell phone and looking up some contacts on there that you might have that people that don't know the gospel yet? On my phone, probably 70% of the people are Christians. But there's about 30% on there that aren't Christians. And even in this time of pandemic, we can go out with messages and message these friends and tell them and give them the good news of the gospel. We have been trying over the last 5 years now, no, it'll be seven years now, to give a calendar and a daily bread to every house in our area. There's 160 houses in our area. And we go house by house trying to get literature into their homes. Now, most of them are Catholic. But up till yet, I have not one house that has not received the literature, which we are very thankful for because the people here do receive literature that you would share with them. And so we thank the Lord that there's opportunities that he gives us, whether it be a calendar, whether it be a Bible text, whether it just might be a little verse that you've underlined and took a picture of it and sent it to someone, whatever it might be. He wants us to be occupied. And he says, well done, thou good servant, to hear those words would bring joy to my heart. But he says, because thou hast been faithful in very little, have thou authority over 10 cities. So the one that worked the hardest got more work. He now is going to be over 10 cities. And then he came to the second. And he says, Lord, thy pound hath gained 5 pounds. And he says, likewise to him, be thou over 5 cities. Did you notice something was missing there? There isn't a well done, thou good servant. He got more work to do, but he refused the words of praise from the master. He didn't hear them. All he got was, thy pound hath gained, thy pound, be thou also over 5 cities. And then we go drop down to verse 20. And he came to the other and said, Lord, here is thy pound. Notice again, thy pound. They all knew that this pound was of the Lord and for them to use it. And he says, here then is thy pound, which I have kept laid up in a napkin. In Spanish, it uses more the phrase a sweatband, a sudario. And we can think of a sweatband as something that the runners put around their head. And the reason they do it is to keep the sweat from pouring down into their face and getting in their sight. And so they put the sweatband because they're going to be sweating. And they know they're going to be sweating. But here it says he wasn't willing to put the sweatband on. All he did was he took the pound and he laid it up in a napkin, a sweatband, because he wasn't willing to do the work. And he says, for I feared thee because thou art an austere man and thou takest up what thou layest not down and thou reapest that thou didst not sow. And he said unto him, out of thine own mouth I will judge thee, thou wicked servant. Thou wicked servant. What to hear these words out of the mouth of our Lord Jesus Christ. It sends a shiver down my back to think of those words, thou wicked servant. The reason that the Lord found this wickedness is because he wasn't willing to obey. He had his own ideas. He had his own agenda. He had his own desire. And his desire and his idea and his agenda was more important than that of the Lord's. And he says, thou wicked servant. And he says unto him, he says, wherefore, when thou gavest not thy money into the bank, that at my coming I might have required mine own with usury. So here the Lord is given a little recommendation. He says, you should have put the money in the bank, that I, my coming, I might have required mine own with interest. I'd like you to think of the bank a minute. You know, in El Salvador, the banks are a business that don't lose. They are growing all over the place. Our lowest interest rate here in El Salvador is about 7.5% right now. So banks make lots of money. And they know how to make money, and they know how to get you to sign on the dotted line and put your name in, and you have to make the payments. But they know how to do it without losing. And so the Lord is saying, you need to work this pound without losing. And if there's some young ones maybe with us this evening, I would like you to encourage you to find others, older ones, that you could associate yourself with to go out and negotiate this pound. Maybe by yourself, you don't feel you could go out. You would feel nervous. You would feel, maybe you've never done it before. And it would be a first time for you. Well, then you can go to the bank and go to a brother or a sister, maybe in the assembly, that has a good testimony, and say, you know, I would really like to go into the area, or I'd like to talk to my one of the girls in school or one of the boys in school. I would like to go and share with them a little bit about the gospel, but I don't feel that I can do it by myself. And so you go to the bank and you ask them for help. Someone with experience, someone knows how to work with the pound. And ask them to accompany you. And there'll be no greater joy than them going with you and helping you and counseling you. And probably after the first month or 2 months, you're going to say, look, brother, thanks for your help. I think I can continue on now, because you've figured out how to take this pound and negotiate it. But we have ways to be able to go to the bank with others that have negotiated well and try to use their wisdom to help us to share this pound that the Lord has entrusted us with. So we have this parable. Negotiate till I come. Now, I want you to look where we are in these verses. I think we're right between verse 14 and 15. Verse 14 says, but his citizens hated him and sent a message after him saying, we will not have this man to reign over us. We can see it around us today. Those who don't want to follow the desire that our Lord has to get this pound out and share it in other places. And it says in verse 15, and it came to pass when he was returned. So we're in the right in between those two verses, verse 14 and 15. He has told us, negotiate till I come. This is what he expects of us. This is what he has asked us to do. And this is where we enter in with our responsibility to the Lord as Christians, having come to know the truth of the gospel, having found forgiveness, having found eternal life. And now we who have this new life in Christ have the responsibility to take it and to share it with others. So I hope the Lord will encourage each of us in these words that I will leave with you. I know there's more we could say about those verses, but I think we'll just leave it there. And we'll continue on with just a little bit of what is of the work is happening right now here in El Salvador. We just received today our first injections, and I think they came from Europe. Not sure what country in Europe, but so one of the countries in Europe sent our first inoculations against coronavirus to El Salvador. And so we will probably start vaccinating within the next couple days. And hopefully it will be something that will hold back the contagiousness that there is in the COVID virus. Amongst the assemblies, there has been 8 assembly believers in fellowship that have passed away with the COVID virus over the last year that we had. So there's been a loss of believers amongst us, some of them middle-aged, some of them younger ones, some of them older ones. And so we thank the Lord that we can see that he is truly faithful to us and has been watching over each one of us here. We have elections coming up on the 28th of February this month here, which is elections for governors and for those in the Legislative Assembly. There's 84 members of the Legislative Assembly. And so right now, El Salvador is in quite a bit of turmoil because the men that are in the present Legislative Assembly oppose the president quite frequently in his desires to try and help the country. And so everybody's hoping that we'll be able to get a new man into the Legislative Assembly and that they will be able to work more in accord with the ideals that the president has. When COVID just came out, our president made a speech that he was going to build, I think it's 4 hospitals. 3 of them already are built, and the 4th one is still in the process of being built. All with the highest amount of technology that they can have in them. And so it was something very special that our president's trying to do to help the people. But there's always those that oppose the president. And so we're praying that even with the new Legislative Assembly that gets voted in, that the new ones will actually be a help into what the president is trying to do. If anyone gets sick today, what you do is you call the number 132 and they will send you out medicine to take immediately. There's antibiotics and everything in the package that the government gives you, and it's to try and take away the effects of what the COVID virus does. So not everybody it has a real effect on, but probably on 80% of the people that actually take the medicine don't even go to the hospital. And it's all free, given by the government, which is a first time for us. We in El Salvador have never had anything free. Everything you always had to pay for, and especially if it was medical or whatever you needed. And now the government is really trying to help, focusing more on the very poor that can't afford anything and trying to help them to be able to get the medicine. Now, if you call that number and you do have the COVID, and they will have the medicine bagged to you within 24 hours and you start taking the medicines that are in it. So we thank the Lord that we can see there's positive areas that the president is working well. The government of the U.S. Sent down respirators for the new hospital that's being built. The president offered our president, the president of the U.S. offered our president 100 ventilators. And our president said, well, we've got 1,000 beds in the hospital. 100 ventilators won't do anything. And next thing we knew is we had 600 ventilators here in El Salvador, which was the same amount that they sent to Mexico. So, but just because El Salvador was pushing to build the new hospital and try and cope with the COVID, we received more help here in the country. So we thank the Lord for what he's doing, even through the president and the work that's going on here in the country. Now, I want to tell you a little bit about Chepe. Chepe, we have known for probably 50 years. I can remember when I was just very young, maybe 9 or 10. And the man that would come and cut our grass here at the house was Chepe. And so we've known Chepe for years. He actually had a little room here in the Colonia where we live, the area where we live, the suburb. And every time you needed something, he would come in and usually help. But over the years, we've given him tracts and we've invited him to meetings, and never anything happened in Chepe's life. And the last time he came to our house, about a year and a half ago, he wasn't doing very well. He was really bent over and you could see he was in a lot of pain. So I got him some medicine to try and control the pain a little bit. And he was telling me that he thought that probably he would try and get into one of the old folks' homes, but wasn't sure how to get in. Well, he got a recommendation from someone in the area, got into the old folks' home, and he's in the old folks' home and he's listening to his radio. And one day, a year ago, he calls me and he says, Craig, he says, you won't believe what happened. And I says, no. I says, tell me what happened. He says, Craig, he says, I got saved. I said, well, how did you get saved? Oh, he says, listening to this man on the radio. And he was telling everyone how the Lord Jesus Christ came and he died on the cross. And there through his death, he paid for our sins so that we wouldn't have to be punished in a place called hell. And he said, I understand. Jesus died for me. Well, I was thrilled. So I went to the old folks' home and took him out of the home and brought him to the house for the weekend. And he was here the whole weekend with us. And we had a lot of interesting talks together. And one of the things is he told me, he says, Craig, he says, one of the things I really want to do is, he said, I want to get baptized. I said, well, I said, as soon as we have the next baptism in Rosario, I said, we'll talk to the Christians there and we'll have the interview and have the baptism there in Rosario. He said, I would love that. So then the COVID came and things got pretty antsy, because here he is kind of isolated in the old folks home, and about 45 or 50% of the people get COVID. So they take him out and put him in another institution that was a school for the deaf. And there he was for another like 2 or 3 months. And then he got back out and then he got COVID and they put him in the hospital. Well, once he was in the hospital and he never did come out with life back out of the hospital. He died there in the hospital. Mm-hmm. So we went to get his body there at the hospital with his brother. And I didn't know his brother, but his brother knew me. And I said, you know, I'll help you get Chip's body. And he said, okay. He said, we'll probably take him to one of the funeral homes and then try and get him buried tomorrow just as soon as we can. So that's what they did, is they got a casket for him and then took him to the wake that night. And I went to the wake and his family was there. His wife was there and his children were there. And I had never met any of them before. All I knew was Chepe. Well, talking to them that night, there was something that really struck in my mind, is all of them said, Chepe in the last year is a changed man. Completely changed. I said, well, how do you know? Oh, he says, he reads his Bible. He says, and then he'll call us and tell us a verse that he's been reading from the Bible. He says, when has Chepe ever touched a Bible? And there were things like this that the family could definitely see that Chepe's changed. So when we had the funeral, the wake service, we were able to have a little message with the people that were there. There was only maybe about 12 or 15 of us all together there in the wake. And then the next day, I wasn't thinking of going to the cemetery, but there was only four of them that went to the cemetery. And as we stopped at the cemetery, one of the brothers came up to me and he said, Craig, he said, would you have another word just right at the cemetery before he's buried? And I said, sure, I would be glad to have another word. So there at the cemetery, just with his direct family members, only four of them, we again explained to them the message of the gospel and the hope that Chepe had of the return of our Lord Jesus Christ. He's coming back, and he's coming back to take us home to be with him. And so we had this opportunity to be there with the family and share a little bit of what the gospel is. We had never talked with the family members before. And so hopefully even after sharing the gospel with them, we'll be able to again touch, come together and meet together again with the family members and have the opportunity to share again the gospel message. We thank the Lord that a work has been started, and there's those that can see the effects of the work, and they too want to hear, and they want to listen and hear what the Lord would have to say. So we thank the Lord for working in Chepe's life, and also for his family. We pray for Chepe's family that they also would get saved. We have one other brother in El Rosario who is very sick. It is our brother Aníbal. Aníbal started coming to the meetings about 3 years ago. His wife has been coming longer than that, but he started coming about 3 years ago. His son, his only son, had gone swimming with some friends out down at the ocean one afternoon. And while he was swimming, the ocean carried him out, this boy. And this boy was drowned out in the ocean. And they waited for the body to come back. 1 day, 2 days, actually 3 days, they waited for the body to come back. And it finally came back on shore again. So being that he was a Christian, he had professed to be saved probably a year earlier. And we had the wake there at the hall right in El Rosario. And one of the people that came to the wake was his dad. And his dad just sat there, very impressed by the way the gospel was presented. And he started coming after the funeral, the burial of his son. He started coming. And about probably 6 months later, after coming to all the gospel meetings, Brother Aníbal received Christ as his savior. But now Aníbal has a kidney deficiency. And he's on dialysis, and he does 2 treatments every week. So he's not a very healthy man. He's hoping that someone will be able to donate a kidney and be able to do the surgery through the government hospital, through the Social Security hospital, and that he would be able to get back to a normal life again. But until that is available, he needs to continue on with the dialysis. So he continues on. This last Sunday, he was out there in Rosario. He comes with his wife, and they have two daughters that are also come to the meetings. And we thank the Lord for Aníbal and for his desire, even weak in health. Like you can see that sometimes it's very hard for him just to get to the meetings. But you can see that it's one of the desires that he has is to be with the Lord's people and to share with the Lord's people and to enjoy the fellowship one with another. So we can pray for Aníbal and the dialysis. And if there would be a kidney that someone would be able to donate for Aníbal, of course, this would be in our prayers as well, so that he would be able to have the surgery and to be able to find a donor that would be one that would be suitable for or compatible for the kidney that we have. The other boy that I want to tell you about is Irving. And Irving is only 18 years old. Irving received the Lord as Savior about a year ago and has been coming to the meetings. The last hall that we built in Santa Rosa was one of the first projects that he went to help us. And a lot of days where I would see him in the morning, he would be fine. By about 10 o'clock, you could see both hands were on his back. And you could see he was in a lot of pain. And so I went over to Irving. I said, Irving, what's wrong? He says, I don't know. He says, I went to a doctor years ago and he told me that I had problems with my kidneys. He says, but that's all I know. So I said, look, Irving, I said, we'll finish this project on the hall. And I said, as soon as we get back to Rosario, I said, we'll take you into the hospital and we'll do the test and we'll see what's the problem. So we ran all the tests on him and we found out that his left kidney is functioning 100%. It's perfect. But his right kidney, it looks like it was either a birth defect or something, and the kidney is completely swelled up. It's kind of shriveled up into this small little mass. And so there's liquid that does go through it, but it gets infections and everything because of not working properly. So when the doctor saw that, he said, no, Irving, he said, the only way that you're going to be able to get rid of these pains that you have is to go in for surgery and get that bad kidney removed. And he said, you'll function fine on the one kidney that you've had. He says, because you've been functioning on it for probably ever since you were 4 or 5 years old. He says, I think probably the little tube that goes between the kidney and the bladder is called the ureter. He said, I think the ureter got plugged. And that's what actually called had the kidney to shrivel up because it was not being able to be used freely as it should have been. So I would ask you to pray for Irving as well with upcoming surgery. I was talking to him on Sunday. He says, hopefully within the next couple weeks, he'll be able to go in for surgery. So we would ask you just to pray for Chepe, the gardener, his family, that they might get saved. And we would pray for Aníbal with the dialysis and looking for a second kidney or another kidney. And then Irving, which needs to have his kidney removed. And I would appreciate the prayers for them. And I know they would appreciate you praying for them as well.